And let's go ahead and take our Bibles tonight to the book of Acts, Acts chapter number 1. We're going to look in a couple different passages of scriptures. We're going to look at the great commission that Jesus Christ had given us. And also we're going to look at some of his final words here on earth. We're going to look at these this different thought. What about after Resurrection Sunday? As I said, many times people will look forward to being here that Sunday. I know some people call it Easter. I like Resurrection Sunday better, and because we know what we're celebrating. And many people look forward to that, and sometimes that's the only day of the year they actually might even come to church. And that's not good. You know, the Bible talks about not forsaking the assembly of believers. And it's important. I don't know about you, but the church is vital, and it's part of the lifeblood. It's part of exactly what God wants us to do and be a part of. And so many people just choose to go away from it, and they miss something that's so important. And I've seen so many different illustrations. We've seen how sometimes as a group of believers, the people say, well, I don't need to be at church. I can serve the Lord anywhere. Well, that's not scriptural. But also, when you're not getting any encouragement, you're not getting fed, you're not getting those things, you begin to go away. I remember one preacher had this illustration, and he was there and he was visiting somebody who hadn't been to church, and the guy gave some of the standard answers. I don't have to be a church. I can be a Christian, and I can serve. I can worship the Lord anywhere and all those other things. And the pastor came by, and there was a roaring fire there, and he took the piece of wood out and laid it to the side that was burning. And without all the other embers and without all the other wood, what happened with that fire was it burned out really quickly. And it's the idea that when we separate ourselves from God's plan, we separate ourselves from God's people, even though we may burn for a little while, but after a while, we're going to burn out because we're not doing what he's called us to do and asked us to do. And even sometimes when there's just different illustrations to talk about, when you've separated out from what God's called you to do, you lose your savor, you lose your salt, you lose your worth when it comes to as a believer because of the fact that we need to be amongst God's people. That's how God designed us, for fellowship. And I understand there's sometimes missionaries that might go into the other side of the world, and they're by themselves for a period of time where they're gaining more believers and reaching people for Christ. But we need other believers. And here in Acts chapter number 1, we're going to see a little bit about what happens as Jesus ascends up to heaven. So Jesus is there. We learned about that. We spent the last number of Wednesday nights on viewing around the cross and the different people viewing the cross. And then we come to this moment in time. He rises from the dead. Everything changes. And for 40 days, he's with his disciples. And 40 days, he's revealing himself and all those other things. And then it comes to this time when he's getting ready to ascend up back up to heaven. And there's some interesting things in this passage. So we're going to look at this for a little while. We're going to look at different thoughts in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as he's ascending up to heaven, and some different things we can pull out of there. And then we're going to look at, even after Resurrection Sunday, some things that just doesn't change, some things that we need to continue on doing. We shouldn't just be setting ourselves up and being excited about worshiping the Lord because he rose from the dead. We should celebrate that each and every day. Our hearts should still stay aflame and be burning for him and want and desire to serve him. Let's see what it says here in verse number 1, Acts chapter number 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theopolis, of all that Jesus both began to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. So you see what they're doing. They're talking about the things he did, the things that he taught, and the commandments that were given to the apostles. And then it says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion. And so now sometimes people call it the Passion Week. That's where they get that from. And his passion. And it says here, by many infallible proofs, saying that there was many different people who saw it. And then we've looked at some of those in the last few weeks, the infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So he's talking about the kingdom of God. He's talking about the future and what happens in verse number 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. So he says, look, I want you to go and I want you to wait. He says, I got a plan for you. Go up to Jerusalem. And he says, remember the promise of the Father. And he's referring to the Holy Spirit that was coming. And we see that him coming in Acts chapter number 2. The Holy Spirit's coming. He says, I want you to go and I want you to wait. And they wait there for a short period of time. Then it says in verse number 5, "And John, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." So he's getting ready to leave. He knows this. Maybe they don't. They're getting ready to watch him ascend up into heaven, and they're thinking and they're planning, okay, he's there. He's been teaching us about this kingdom of God. Let's go ahead and get to it. Let's go ahead and start this kingdom of God. And it says in verse number 5, it says, "When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel?" And we told you before when what they were excited about, when that they had that triumphal entry, that they were excited about Jesus coming to be king physically at that moment in time, maybe to overthrow Rome. And so as they overthrow Rome, that they would set up his kingdom and that they would all sit there and they would worship with him together and they would all reign together. But that's not what happened. Jesus came to take care of the more important, the spiritual first. He is coming someday and he will return someday and he will set up his kingdom and have the millennial reign of the kingdom. But they're interested and they said, hey, are you going to restore your kingdom now? Or when is it you're going to restore your kingdom? That's what we're interested in. Look what it says in verse 7. "And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth." So they go and ask a question. And I think it's an interesting question. It's a question that many people ask today. When's Jesus going to return? When's he going to set up his kingdom? And he looks at them and he says, look, it's not for you to know. It says, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father have put in his own power. He says, look, that's not for you to worry about. Then he says, but this is what I want you to worry about. He says, I don't want you to worry about the future kingdom. He says, but ye shall receive. They're looking for information. They're looking for the day that, hey, Jesus is going to come back. He's going to set up his kingdom. Let's all celebrate. Let's all get started. But he says, no. That's not what I want you to focus on. And sometimes people focus on, and I think it's great to read the book of Revelation. I think it's good to understand the book of Revelation. The Bible, it's the only book of the Bible that talks about how you're blessed if you read it. But sometimes people spend their whole ministry staying in the book of Revelation, and they forget about all the different books and chapters that talks about the Christian living that's there. Because that's just as important. It teaches us how to live. I enjoy the book of Revelation. I learn from the book of Revelation. It teaches me a lot of different things. But we also got to remember, he says, you're not going to know the times, you're not going to know the hours, but ye shall receive power. And then I have something I want you to do, and you shall be witnesses. He said, this is what I want you to focus on. Don't focus on trying to figure out the day and the moment. Yes, I want you to watch. I want you to have faith. I want you to live right. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And this is what I want you to worry about. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. He says, hey, after Resurrection Day, all the things, they're celebrated. They spent 40 days with him. They're saying, hey, what is it we're supposed to do with our life? When are you coming back? When are you going to set up your kingdom? Is the time now? He's like, no. Don't worry about that. He says, this is what I want you to be. I want you to be a witness. Not just witnesses to your family. It says, look at the different parts. It says, it speaks about in Jerusalem and all Judea and to Samaria and to the othermost parts of the earth. And you go out and you read the book of Acts, it seems like that's how they actually began. They started in Jerusalem, then they went to all Judea, and then they went and you saw Philip going into Samaria. And it says in verse number 9, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight." Verse 10, "And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask God's help tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you help us tonight to see that even though after we have such a wonderful day celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you have work for us to do even after Resurrection Sunday. There is more for us to do. And that's what, Lord, you ask them to focus on. You ask them to stay focused on a great commission that's there. And Lord, I pray you would speak to our hearts as we look so many weeks already leading up to the crucifixion, leading up to the resurrection. We spent those times on Wednesday nights considering and thinking about those things. We saw all the suffering that you went through. We saw all those around you and the decisions that they made. But we see it's coming to an end, that you're leaving us. And Lord, as you left them, you gave them a commission to do what you wanted them to focus on. And Lord, I pray you would help us. And Lord, that we would never lose sight of your focus, that we would not just be men standing around gazing, but instead we would be busy about doing the work of the Father's business. Lord, help us. And Lord, speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So go back to verse number 9. He says, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. So we see that the ascension happens. They're left. We know that the Holy Spirit's coming, but these two angels come and they look at him and he says, what are you doing? Why are you standing up here gazing up to heaven? Didn't he give you some work to do? Didn't he tell you to go out and be a witness into all the world? And I know they're supposed to go to Jerusalem. They're supposed to sit and they're supposed to wait. But when I read that, I can imagine, you know, as an angel at those point in times, I think about how God's will in heaven is done every single moment, every single day. And that's when it's, and I think about it when in the model prayer where it says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's a personal thing in my mind. We're not just praying for the will of God to be done in everybody else's life. The only person's life you can control the will of God being done in your life is your life. And as you're praying that, you're saying, Lord, I want your will done in my life. Yes, we want it and desire for everyone else, but we cannot control anyone else's senses. We cannot control anybody else's body functions but our own. And when he says, thy will be done, and when we say that, just like it's in heaven, that means God's will is done every second of every day in heaven. He says, that's the way I want my will for my life to be too. And that's in that model prayer, I believe it's saying the importance there of having God's will done in our life. And we're praying that personal. We like to pray it for our children. I pray all the time that, hey, Lord, I want God's will done in Andrew's life. I want God's will done in Christian's life. And I want God's will done in Amy's life. And I want God's will done in our church family's life. But you know what? It's personal. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. I want your will done in my life, Lord. And here he's saying, here are these angels, and they do the will of God, and they're sitting there, and I can imagine what they think of them, of the men, mankind, and how mankind rejected Jesus and all the things that they did, the things that the angels desire to look into, as it talks about in Hebrews. But you sit there, and he says, look, why are you wasting your time? You ain't doing God's will by just gazing up in heaven. Get busy. Go do the work that he's called you to do. If he told you to go to Jerusalem and sit and wait, go to Jerusalem, sit and wait. And so I think sometimes in our lives, and once again, we should be watching. We're told to watch for the second coming. We're told to be looking for his return. But there is a job that he has given us to do, and there is a work that he's given us to do. And sometimes after Resurrection Sunday comes, and we've done all this work and gone through all these things and seen victories, had a good number of people here. We had a lot of visitors that were here. We had a lot of family members that were here, and it was great. We had people that raised their hand and said they're not sure if they're saved, and we need to pray that they'll get saved, and all those wonderful things. But it doesn't stop just because we didn't have church on Sunday night. It's, what am I going to do Sunday night? I know some of you went to church somewhere on Sunday night. That's wonderful. What am I going to do Monday? What am I going to do Tuesday? What am I going to do Wednesday? And he says, look, don't worry about the days and times. It's not for you to know the times. It's not for you to know the seasons. He says, but there is something I want you to focus on. But ye shall receive power. This is what I want you to focus on. I want you to focus on reaching our world for Jesus Christ. I want you to learn how to preach and to teach and to baptize and to train all those up. So let's look at some of the other passages of as he's ascending up. Go to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Once again, I know these are kind of familiar to you, but each of them have their own little story that goes along with it and something you can draw out of each and every one of them. Matthew 28, and we want to get to these thoughts of different things our response should be like. In Matthew 28, look what it says in verse 18. Matthew 28 and verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And then he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Now, it's not just some. It's just not America. We can't pick and choose the people that we don't like. Well, I don't like what they're doing over in China. You know, they can go take care of it. No, he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. So what does he tell them here? Same type of commission. Tells it in a different way. And I think there are parts of it, and they blend all together, and we preached it on that before. Well, what is he saying, teaching all nations? It's teaching them the gospel. And you know, no need to get baptized until you get saved. So he says, I want you to go. I want you to teach them the truths that are found. He says, I want you to see the things you've seen, that Jesus died for the sins of mankind. Jesus was buried and Jesus rose again. He says, I want you to see him get saved and I want you to see him get baptized. And then there's a discipleship that's talked about here in verse number 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. It's not just seeing them saved and not just seeing them baptized. It's seeing them discipled, teaching them to observe all things. That takes a lifetime. That takes a lifetime of learning and takes a lifetime of growing. And it's sort of like the Matthew chapter 5, when we're in those Beatitudes and we're learning things about blessed are they that mourn, or blessed are those that are poor in spirit. That's like the next levels of discipleship. We teach them the foundational things, but you continue on teaching and you continue on learning. You've never arrived. You've never apprehended. We're always growing. We're always learning. And he says that if we're not, for us to be able to teach more, we must continue on learning. He says, whatsoever I commanded you. And then here's this is the wonderful part. Lo, I am with you always. He's getting ready to ascend up to heaven. He says, look, I will always be with you. He's speaking about the Spirit of God that was with them, even till the end of the world. So we see that he gives, he's like, look, the resurrection's over. The 40 days we were together, the excitement, it's going to wear off sometime. It's gonna get cool sometimes. You're going to face persecution. So what are you supposed to do? Go into all nations, teach it. Preach it, baptize, see them discipled. Let's go to Mark. Mark chapter 16. It's the last chapter in Mark, same type of thing. He's getting ready to ascend up into heaven. Same great commission, just written from different perspectives here. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Looks at the next one. To every creature. Now, this is not referring to animals. Animals do not have a soul. But it's saying to every person, even if they look like they're a creature sometimes, maybe if they even act like a creature, it doesn't matter. We need to preach it to. There's not the wrong person to give the gospel to. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And then he begins talking about some sign gifts that are here. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Shall they cast out devils? They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So he's giving a commission here. And he's saying, look, I'm going to be with you even till the end of the earth. He gives some of these different things, these different sign gifts as they were going to new people. And we even saw some of those things that happened in the book of Acts. And we saw that those things were finished at the end of the completion of the Word of God. And it talks about that in 1 Corinthians. And it talks about those different things that are there. And it says in verse 19, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and he preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. So this is speaking about that the Lord went with them and it confirmed. And it's great. And look, I love that phrase at the end, verse number 20, the Lord working with them. So we're thinking about the Great Commission. He says, look, don't worry about the times and hours, but I got something that I want you to worry about. I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel. I want you to be witnesses unto me and to Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to uttermost parts of the world. And he says in Matthew, look, I'm going to be with you always. And then he says, not only am I going to be with you, I'm going to be working with you. I'm going to empower you. I'm going to give you what you need to do the things I want to accomplish. And that's what the Holy Spirit's talking about. And I know that soul winning and being a witness and bringing people are things that are a challenge for some believers. And they say that's not my gift, but that's not true. The Lord, if we have the Holy Spirit of God within us, he will give us, like he says, he will work with us. Let's now go to Luke. Look what it says in Luke chapter 24. If it said once in the Bible, we should pay attention to it. If it said over and over and over, that means we need to take special attention to it. So how come is it hard for us to be a witness? How come is it hard for us to reach out to others? We see clear commissions that are given in Acts 1. See it in Matthew 28, Mark 16. Look what it says in Luke. Luke chapter 24. Look what it says in verse 49. Actually, we'll go up to verse 46. And he says, and he said unto him, thus it is written, and thus it is behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. We heard the promise of the Father over in Acts. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. And this, you see that once again, he's saying what's supposed to be preached in 47. Repentance and remission of sins shall be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Then he says in verse number 49, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. And then he says in verse 53, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. So we see the response here. Resurrection's over. What do? They were gazing up into heaven. And the angel said, look, why are you gazing up into heaven? That's not what he told you to do. But he goes and he says that they're being continual with their work and they're doing in the work of the power of the Holy Spirit and they're going forth into all lands. Look in John chapter 21. John chapter 21, we chose this passage just to take another gospel thing, but something that happened between the resurrection and the ascension. Jesus calls Peter back into service. We all pretty much know the story. He says, lovest thou me? And he says that to him three different times. We know the thought process behind it with the different words that were used and talking about the sheep versus the lambs. But there's an interesting phrase here that I think goes along with the message and the story. And it says in John chapter 21, look what it says in verse 20. Actually, we'll go up to verse number 19. This spake he, signifying by what death he shall glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. He's speaking to Peter. Peter is kind of backslidden. He's rebelled. He's gotten out of the ministry. The Lord is calling him back by saying, lovest thou me more than these? Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? And then he goes and has a personal conversation with Peter, talks about how Peter, that he's going to be giving his life for the cause of Christ someday. And he says to him, this is what I want you to do. I want you to follow me. But you see in verse number 21, Peter seeing him say to Jesus, Lord, actually, verse 20, I'm sorry, we skipped that. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? So he sees John. We know that's John. We've established that before. Look what he says in verse 21. Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? It's interesting. Peter has just heard that he's going to have to give his life for the cause of Christ. Peter's there and he sees John, whether out of the corner of his eye, maybe John was following, I don't really know. But he looks at John and he says, what about him? You're saying it's going to cost me everything, but what about him? And I love Jesus' response he has here in verse number 22. And Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thee thou me. Sometimes the reason why we get lost in what we're supposed to do after Resurrection Day is because we put what everybody else is doing bases off of what we should do. Hey, if everybody else is going to go be part of a super Saturday, you can count me in. But if it's just going to be me passing out a track, forget it. If everybody else is going to come and serve the Lord, that's great. That's wonderful. If it's going to cost me my life, as long as it's going to cost everybody else's life, that's okay with me. And that's what Peter has just heard. He's heard him say, hey, if you read what Jesus told him in verse number 18, verily, verily, I say unto you, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. He's saying, it's signifying the type of death he's going to be. There's a day and time when you did everything. And Peter was probably a strong man. He definitely had a strong will, definitely had a big mouth. And he did all types of things, was strong, and was used to being a fisherman. He said, but there's a day coming when someone's going to have to gird you. And there's someone is going to take you to a place that you don't want to go. And someday it's going to cost you your life. He says, okay. And Jesus says, I guess this is all I want you to do. He says, I want you to follow me. I want you to do the things I told you. And Peter looks over at John and says, what about him? And Jesus says, you don't have to worry about him. If I let him live until I return. And look at that last phrase he says in verse 22. He says, what is that to thee? And I love that phrase because sometimes people look at me and they say, well, so-and-so does that. And how come they get to have this? Or how come they get to do that? And what is that to thee? He says, I've called you to follow me. And he says, this is what I want you to do. I don't want you to follow because somebody else follows. I don't want you to be part of the Great Commission because the pastor does a good job preaching it or because of the fact of any other reason. But I want you to follow me. And even after Resurrection Sunday is over, and even after you had visitors show up, and even after you were able to celebrate and get up early in the morning, come to the sunrise service and have a good day in the Lord, worship and praise the Lord, what about Monday? He says, what is that to thee? If, hey, they're not coming. That has nothing to do with you. I've called you to follow me, but they're not serving. That has nothing to do. What about that person's bad attitude? That has nothing to do with you. What is it to thee? And that's the one thing when we think about the work, what about after Resurrection Day? What about after everything is no longer maybe pretty and shiny and it's easy to worship and it's easy to serve the Lord? It's easy when everybody says, hey, let's go to church on that Sunday. What about when the rest of the family doesn't want to go? That has nothing to do with you. You go serve. The angels are sitting there. What are you looking, gazing up into heaven? You should get busy. He's got something for us to do. Well, this person said this about this person. You know what? They need to grow. They need to get mature. It's sad sometimes when we see believers and see churches acting as if they're children and the way that they behave with one another. And we expect that from toddlers, and we expect that from children. Sometimes we expect more from children and their attitude than we expect from our own attitudes. And that happens in churches sometimes. So we need to be careful of that. But we need to understand, what is that to thee? He says, I've called you to follow me. And that's what he says at the end. He says, follow thou me. He said, no matter whatever happens with John, I want you to follow thou me. No matter what happens with Judas, or no matter whatever happened with Matthew, no matter whatever happened with this person and with that person, men are going to fail you. But he says, follow thou me. And we said, when after Resurrection Sunday happens, and when it was cool maybe to come to church one time a year, and everybody else came, and they came dressed nice, and that's great, and that's wonderful, checked all the marks. But what about now? He says, I want you to follow me today. And he says, follow thou me. So here's some different things. If you want to write them down, you can. Some different thoughts about what about after Resurrection Sunday? What about the Monday? The first thought is the tomb is still empty. We should always rejoice in the Lord. The tomb is still empty. Just because Monday there's not as much people talking about the Lord, not as much people talking about the resurrection, maybe Monday they're still excited. What about Tuesday? What about Wednesday? What about next week when it's hard to serve the Lord and get up early? What about the tomb is still empty? No matter what day of the calendar it is, now you can pick whatever day of the week you want, whatever day of the month you want, whatever year after he arose from the dead, the tomb will always be empty. You know what that means? We should always still rejoice. It's easy to rejoice in the Lord on Resurrection Sunday. It's easy to think about and have the power of God reminded to us, and that because the tomb is empty, someday we will rise again. But that fact doesn't change on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. We should continue on rejoicing even after Resurrection Sunday. Second thing is, Jesus is still alive. We can still rest in his power. He's still alive. We can rest in his power. And that's what he says in many of these things. All power is given to me in heaven and earth. And he sends us out with that power. We have the Spirit of God that lives within us. And obviously, it's not a free reign of the power. We don't have the power that the Holy Spirit, that God has in the idea to do whatever we want. Jesus could look at something and, you know, he can make call 12 legions of angels. We don't have that, but he gives us the power from the Holy Spirit of God to do exactly what he's called us to do. And we can rest in that. Just because tonight is Wednesday, after Resurrection Sunday, he's still alive today. We celebrate and get excited about it on Resurrection Sunday, and sometimes it gets a little cool, and sometimes it gets a little bit tiring, and sometimes it gets a little bit harder to remember that he's still alive. The same power we sang about, the same power we worshiped on Sunday, same power today he has with us. It's not just because there's a certain date and a certain day of the week and a certain day of the year. No, that's great to celebrate those days, but we should live as if he's still alive and has those powers. Matthew 28:6 says, he is not here, for he is risen. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. Mark 16:4 says, and when they looked, they saw the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And Jesus say in Matthew 28, and Jesus spake unto them, and saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. So these are all verses showing the tomb was empty and that the power is still alive. Another thing I want you to think about, Christ's promises are still true. We believe that on Resurrection Sunday, right? And the reason why is because he's not here, like he said. Remember what he said. It says in Luke 24:6, he's not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. Continue to live like you believe he's going to keep his promises. Sometimes when we are we invite people, and a number of people we invite it, and sometimes you'll hear people say, yeah, I'll come to church. And many times they don't show up. You show up and you anticipate that they're going to come, but sometimes when someone gives you a promise, you don't always know whether or not you can trust them. There are some people I've met, and unfortunately, they don't keep their word very well. And when they say something, I always don't always anticipate, hey, that's definitely going to happen. Now, there's other people I know that would keep their word almost to the fact that it would physically harm them to not keep their word. And you know you can trust them. If they say they're going to be there, they're going to be there. They're going to be there on time or early. You don't have to worry about it unless there's a car accident or something. There's people that you can trust in their promises. But there is car accidents that can happen that can stop them from coming. With God, there ain't nothing that's going to stop him. Nothing in this world that can stop him from keeping one of his promises. And we know that on Resurrection Sunday because he told us that and we believe that. But what about after Resurrection Sunday? We should continue to rejoice. We should continue to rest. We should continue to be reassured about the promises he's going to keep. Let's live like it. When he tells us that he's going to provide for our needs, let's not go out there and do things that shows us that we don't believe in him. When he tells us that he's going to be with us always, and he's going to be working with us, and when he tells us he's going to give us the ability to do the Great Commission, let's not live our lives acting like we don't believe that. Let's live our lives taking those steps of faith. God said, I'm going to do it, so God says I can do it. I'm going to take that step after step after step because I believe the promises of God. We think about Miss Marcia being passed away this past week. Can we trust in that promise, right? That we believe she's in heaven today because based off the promises of the Bible. And we should live like that, that it's not just a promise. It's not just something that we know he can do. And I think about what should we do after Resurrection Sunday. Remember, God still uses regular people today. He still does. I mean, you see this story. You go to Acts chapter 2. You go to Acts chapter 3. You go to Acts chapter 4, 5, 6, 7. What's he doing? He's using regular people. He is. Resurrection's over. The power's there. It's still available. It's still today. He uses regular people. And he saith unto them, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. What did he tell Simon Peter? Look, I want you to follow me. Simon Peter's like, what about John? He says, what does that have to do with you? follow thou me. He says, don't base your following on a man, because that man is going to fail you sooner or later. Don't base your following on a woman, because that woman's going to fail you. Don't base your following on some type of politician or something. No, they're all going to fail you. But he says, follow thou me. And that's what he's saying to Peter. He still uses Peter. He still calls Peter. He still uses common men. He uses men that were sinners, because we were all sinners. But he used men that was even backslidden, who denied Christ, who cursed, who did what? He denied him three times. And Jesus says, I want you to follow me. And that's what he desires us to do. After the resurrection, let's remember, he's still saving people too. He still saves. That's your next thing. He's still saving people. We need to keep on sharing the gospel. So how many people were saved on resurrection, that first resurrection Sunday? There could have been some. We don't know. When they started hearing that Jesus was raised from the dead, their opening may be understood. Now, how many people were saved after Resurrection Sunday? A lot more. You think about it. Ever since then, even you think about after the 40 days and the 10 days, and you think about Pentecost, and you think about the thousands that were saved, if they would have just stayed at the tomb and just worried about the tomb and didn't consider following Jesus' commandments, you think about how many would have never been saved, how many would have never heard all those other things. No, there was more saved after that. More saved after the resurrection. And yes, sometimes we see people saved. And like I said, this past week, we had people raise their hands saying, I understand I have a need. I see my need. I know that I need to be saved, but I'm not ready to make that decision yet. And once again, I think we could have people. I think we could have people get, raise their hands and say, hey, and say prayers in their hearts and maybe not really understand it. I don't want to give anybody false hope. I want somebody to truly understand what they're saying and being. And I know that's appropriate certain times. That's fine. But I love to talk people one-on-one instead of just leading them in the pew. And once again, that happens sometimes. And I'm not saying that's wrong. But at the same time, it's good for them to understand. And if they truly are interested and need to be saved, they're going to seek someone out. And I don't want to make it convenient, easy. I want to make it something that people get it and understand it. And they keep on sharing it. That, as I said, scripture took place weeks following the resurrection. And what happens? The Holy Spirit's indwelling after they ascended from heaven. And what happens? The Holy Spirit falls on them. And it says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know surely that God have made the same Jesus whom ye have crucified, and both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? It was the preaching that happened after the Holy Spirit came that thousands upon thousands, I would dare to say over history, possibly millions, even maybe billions, that have received Christ since then. But we don't really know. But if they would have stopped at the tomb and said, hey, that was a nice Resurrection Sunday, I don't need to do anything else, how many would have missed it? How often do we do that? Last but not least, not only do people need to be saved, Christians need to be discipled. Christians need to be discipled. You know, on a time and place where you see people saved, I talked about that in Matthew, we need to be working with believers. We need to be working with younger believers, immature believers. Doesn't matter how old they are. It doesn't matter how long they've been saved sometimes. We need to continue on working, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded. And I think it's important sometimes we miss this. And it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. After Resurrection Sunday, if you see people saved, you know what they need? They need to be discipled. When you see someone that's an immature believer acting like an immature believer, you know what they need? They need to see someone who is a mature Christian living Christ's life. Christ living through them. They definitely do not need to see somebody else being just as immature as they are. We need to grab a hold of that and say, I want to disciple people. I want to help people to become more like Christ. I want to love on people, and I want to train. I want to teach. I want to help them grow. But the only way you're going to be able to teach them the things they need to know is for you first to learn them yourselves. I have had people say, well, I'll teach a class. And obviously there were things in their lives we just didn't want them to teach others. And they were people maybe that weren't faithful to church, or people that had the wrong attitudes when it came to certain things. And like I said, it's important that we, what are we teaching them? It says here, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. It doesn't say teaching them to observe all things that you have commanded them. He says what God has commanded them. And so many times we have taken and added so many things and made so many things that says this is exactly what a Christian should look like in 2023. And we try to group everybody inside one group, and we don't even think about what they've gone through and what they're learning and what their past experiences are. And we try to disciple them and teach them and show them from the scriptures and from the Bible and from the Word of God. This is what God says is holy loving. It's the whole point of our blessed series. All of us think, oh, I'm going to have a blessed life if I do this, this, and this. The Bible has been telling us over and over, you're going to be more blessed if you give than you receive. You're going to be more blessed if you learn to serve, and not the serving that is self-satisfying. You get something back. He says he gets on his knee and he washes the disciples' feet, and he says, happy are ye if you do this. If you learn how to serve the way that Christ served, and if you learn how to mourn, like we talked about, over our sins, if you learn how to become poor in spirit, that's what the blessed life is. But so often we want to present what we think is right, even if it's unscriptural. It's got to change. It's got to stop. It's got to be a moment in time when we look at it and we hear, yes, Resurrection Sunday is great. It's wonderful. We get all dressed up. We get people to come. All those things are great. And we're going to continue on doing it and celebrating that day. But there's a Monday and Tuesday. There's 360 some days after that that we need to continue on working, continue on serving, because the tomb is still empty, because he is still alive. His power is still available. We can still rejoice because he still holds his promises. We can act like it. We can live by faith because he still is calling people. Don't worry about anybody else. Follow thou me. And then he continues on. The gospel still saves people today. Christians still need to be discipled. Our work is not finished. Just because Resurrection Sunday has gotten done and by, no, it's time to continue on. As I mentioned, I thought how many people really got saved after the resurrection? And I get it. The Holy Spirit came. I understand that was the empowering of the church. I get all that. I know that. But at the same time, how do we apply it to our lives? It's time for us to do things. It's not just time to serve on a Resurrection Sunday when it's easier and more convenient. It's Monday. Let's get up and let's worship him still, because he's still not in the tomb. Let's still believe in his power and his promises, because he's still not going to break the promises. He still can save people today, and people still need to be discipled today. Let's not give up. Let's keep on going. What about after Resurrection Sunday? So Jesus didn't stop his ministry there. He actually told him, I want you to get busy and get to work. Let's go. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit of God. I've given you this gospel. I've taught you these things. You've walked with me for this time. Now let's go out and serve. So as a church, what about after Resurrection Sunday? Are we serving still? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for your word. And Lord, I know tonight's message was a little bit different, but Lord, I believe it's what you laid upon my heart to encourage us. Not just to look for the next big day, not just to look for another thing to invite. And yes, we do have special promotions for people to invite, so they give even more reason. But Lord, the tomb is still empty. Lord, your power is still available. You're still a promise keeper. People are still being called. People are still being saved, and people still need to help with discipleship. Let us not just say, man, I'm looking forward to the Resurrection Sunday because it was nice. Instead, let's say, I'm looking forward to what God can do in my life today, because the tomb's still empty and the power's still available. God, help us. Help us to want to live for you. Yes, Lord, we understand rest. Yes, Lord, we understand what it means to wonder what other things are happening. But help us not to be like Peter. Help us to learn the way Peter did. And when you said to him, follow thou me. He was concerned about John. And he said, you don't need to worry about John. They were concerned about when you were going to, their times and the seasons. They didn't need to be worried about that. You said, this is what I want you to worry about. Not the times and the seasons. I want you to worry about being a witness. Lord, help us to be a good witness. Lord, help us to have the same excitement today as we would on Resurrection Sunday. Because nothing has changed. it's still an empty tomb. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go ahead and stand.